Daisy Allen. I'd like to share with you the incredible story of the Daisy Allen, the boat belonging to my family that was named after my Granny Thompson, Daisy Allen. How she was made and christened, how she was lost and then found by the man whose life she saved. You will hear from my sister Emma Thompson and my cousin Rodney Thompson about how the boat was built in Whitby and what she meant to the family. Then you'll hear from the fascinating Tony Young and Jack Kenyon about how the boat was rescued and how she is being rebuilt to finally go back to sea. Daisy Allen. Daisy Allen is my granny. Five children, fatty cakes, verger of the church, hands curled from care and work. Daisy Allen is the boat. 34-foot Whitby cobble, built by Gordon Clarkson, handles like a shire horse. Granny Daisy made the scones for the bairns, opened the church when the lifeboat went out, lit the light to light them home. And I never really knew her, though I sat upon her knee and licked Christmas cake from her spoon. And the boat I never stood in was sold when I was too small for school. But I think I understand why she let the boat builder into her bedroom when she was too poorly to come down, and why that shy young man told her everything he was doing to the boat that would take her name. Why she needed to know everything about the quality of the wood. And looking at the boat now, though I am only just learning the names for every curving bone of wood, I recognise that place where I felt my own son's feet push between my ribs. And though I never knew her, I carry her story in these hands that curl like hers, around a spoon, a baby's head. I understand why she wanted to know how close the frames of this boat were laid before she let it carry her sons. Hello, and welcome to The Catch, Redcar's fishing story past and present. I'm Carmen Marcus, author, poet, fisherman's daughter, and Redcar lass. In this episode, you will hear the story of the Daisy Allen, a Whitby cobble, from my sister Emma Thompson and cousin Rodney Thompson. You'll discover how she was built, the trouble she caused until she was christened, how she took care of the family, and the heartbreak caused when she had to be sold. Tell us about Daisy Allen then. What made her special?
Daisy Allen, obviously named after my grandma, your grandma.
Mm-hmm. She's the...
Which, built in Whitby in 1966. Well, that's when she was delivered.
Who built her again?
Was it Gordon Clarkson. I always thought my dad was a shareholder of Daisy Allen.
Oh, right.
But he wasn't.
Oh.
Daisy Allen belonged to your dad and Jimmy. So when June Rose was sold,
yeah,
that was the end of my dad being shareholder. Because he had shares, everything that they earned over the years and bought new boats, it was just the three of them.
Yeah.
Everything was split three ways.
Yeah.
They didn't not involve me dad with Daisy Allen, they did. But I think it was because my dad wasn't fishing anymore.
Yeah.
Because of his, you know, his ailment that he had.
Yeah.
They still kept him involved. He used to go, he went a couple of times to Whitby, but he wasn't involved with the build so much as in Daisy Allen, because he used to play hell. You know, he wanted a bigger engine.
Yeah.
But Daisy Allen was built under a whitefish grant.
Mm-hmm. What's a whitefish grant?
It was the Whitefish Authority was it was like a loan. It was built on a loan.
Right.
Like the Whitefish Authority was like to do with fishermen. It was a fisherman's bank, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's dysfunction now, but it was then, it was to get more people into the fishing industry.
Really?
Or if you had an older boat, they would loan you the money to get a new one. Well, I didn't know that at the time. Obviously, it was your dad's and Jimmy's business.
Yeah.
Not mine. But they did take me. We went to, the boat had to be insured.
Yeah.
So I remember going with your dad and Jimmy to Sunderland, to Mac Bain, they called them. I always remember, was the insurance, marine insurance. So the boat was insured there. This is all before it got delivered.
Yeah.
And when we went to Whitby one time to have a look at it being built. I used to go all the time, me and my pal, on a weekend off school, on the bus to Whitby, on the Saturday, have a day out, you know. And we'd go and have a look, and this thing was ginormous. You know, it was in a shed like this. But if you imagine Daisy Ellen in here, it looked huge.
Huge, yeah.
And anyway, Gordon, you say, oh, it won't be long, Rod, you know, you'll be Saturday. And, I mean, I was only 13. Anyway, when Jimmy, this particular time, we went to have a look at it, she was nearly ready for going in the water. And Jimmy says, she's too big, you've made her too big.
Oh, we've heard that it was a lot of, she's too big. How many feet was she?
34 foot 10.
34 foot 10?
Yeah.
So what was the average cobble around here then?
30 foot.
Really?
31 foot.
So we had the biggest cobble.
So that was the biggest at that time. And then Steve Dandy got bigger one.
Yeah, of course.
You know. but Jimmy, he wanted, I mean, it was him, not so much your dad, but he wanted another one like Sea Lover.
Yeah.
But stronger built. Sea Lover was an amble cobble. An amble cobbles aren't as heavy built as Whitby cobbles.
Ah, right.
You know, they don't use the same thickness of wood.
Right.
They might have done in later years, but at that particular time, they used to build them lighter. Beautiful cobbles, lovely shaped cobbles.
Yeah.
But Daisy Ellen was a big, and my dad said, it's not big enough, you know. Dad said you should have made.
One's it's too big. It's like Goldilocks, isn't it, with the cobbles?
So was she built for sort of what was the idea behind the design of her and having her built so big? And was it because of the salmoning? Or?
It was the reason she was built bigger. Obviously, was give you more comfort at sea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's going to give you more shelter when it's. You know, when it's a poor day, bad weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a bigger working platform. Mm-hmm. It's moderner gear on board.
Yeah.
It can also give you where you can go further out to sea because you're on a bigger boat.
Yeah.
And it's safer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We could carry more lobster pots. Man, we did. I mean, we used to carry on June Rose, we'd have 50 pots in a fleet.
Right.
And we only had 15 days yelling.
Oh.
But if we wanted, if the fishing in the area that we were in wasn't very good,
yeah,
you might say, right, we'll put two fleets on.
Yeah.
So we'd put 100 on.
Ah.
We'd put 100 on her and go and move them somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which it's not the safest thing to do.
No.
Because when you've got 100 pots on, it's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
You know, and if anything goes wrong.
So if there's a swell or anything.
If anything goes wrong with the engine, when you've got these pots on, you've got to get them off quick. But we've done it many, many times.
Yeah.
Picking them off salt and them bringing them out here, what we call the slag, right, out here and down to German Charlie's near the breakwater. Many a time. Well, I could start off when Daisy Ellen first came from Whitby. Myself, your dad, Jimmy, my dad, and my brother Michael went to bring her home.
Mm-hmm.
So Nelly took us in that car.
Oh, God, I remember that car.
Did we all go in that car? Anyway, we brought it home, and the Dodger, it was a gale of wind, bloody awful, sou'west. And it was a nightmare. Anyway, we got it home, and within weeks, weren't happy with her. So they wanted 2 inches taken off the drafts. The drafts are them bits under there.
Mm-hmm. What are they for?
Them's the bits that pull it onto the wheels, and that's what they sit on.
Ah, yes.
They run right underneath.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted to take her back and get 2 inches took off so it would come further up the beach. I know 2 inches, it didn't sound a lot, but it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we took her back to Whitby. And Gordon Clarkson did it. She was only there a couple of weeks, I think. But we still had Joan Rose, so we carried on fishing with her. Anyway, when it was ready to come back, that was the time my dad fell in the river. So he didn't come with us. Jimmy never came with us. There was me and your dad.
Yeah.
That's right, me and your dad. That's right, there was me. Me, your dad, and my dad were going to bring her back.
Yeah.
Dad fell in, so he couldn't. He had to go home. So me and your dad. Well, you know the great big mast?
Yeah.
Remember seeing photographs with just the mast? Well, we couldn't put that mast up till we got under the bridge.
Oh, blimey.
So what I was doing, I was busy. Your dad was steering, and I was, like, getting the wires and everything. It was a right fiddly thing. Ready to plug in the back of the radio. We were one of the first boats to have a VHF radio.
Yeah.
And your dad and Raymond Preston were the first to ever have a radio license on Wrecker Seafront.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Definitely. So I'm messing about, and as I looks up to see where we are, I said to your dad, "We want to be over there." Next thing, boom, we run aground.
Oh, no.
In Whitby. There was that much fresh water down the river. There was nowhere we were going to get off.
Oh, bloody hell.
So we stuck there, couldn't do anything. Oh, your dad's in a hell of a state.
I bet. I was going to say,
brand new boat.
Yeah, you know. Everyone looking.
What's Jimmy going to say?
So all the word around Whitby was, Marky was reading the, what was it? What were you doing? Reading a comic while he was driving.
You ran the boat
aground.
No, he did not tell us this story, Rodney Spriceley.
Yeah. Gordon came for us in his little work boat, got us off. Now you can do, we'll have to come back. Of course, we had to get in touch with Jimmy, because I don't know whether they had a phone or not then. Tell him that don't be looking for us because we're not on our way back. The boat's aground. So me and your dad, I'll never forget it as long as I live. We walked. And so what are you going to do? I said, we'll have to have some to eat. I'm starving. Dad said, yeah, we're in. So we walked down where the marina is. If you can imagine, we got put on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
Where Parkinol is at the moment. Parkinol is the Bill fishing boats there at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
The big place. It's on the other side of the bridge, but well up towards the flyover, you know.
Right.
So we walked down. I said, I know, good cafe. All right, all right. So we went. And as you come to the bridge, it's on this side. there's a car park. Do you know Whitby? Mm. Right. That little car park, there's a little street runs round. Well, there was a cafe there. I can't think of the name of it. I mean, your dad goes in, and it was full of Hells Angels. Right?
You with all your boots and your guns.
So, your dad looks at me. I said, good grubbing here. Yeah, so anyway, he ends up in a good conversation with these Hells Angels, you know. And, of course, they said, "Oh, are you going fishing?" He said, "No, not at the minute." Like, you know. And he's dealing with you. Well, you don't bring me in here.
You know, I wouldn't like that.
I can go to that cafe now and I laugh every time I'm there and I walk past. Yeah, if it was full of Hells Angels. Yeah, it was brilliant. So, hence later on, we went back. Did we? I don't think we brought her home that day because it was too late. And then I think we went back the next day and then brought her back. And then a few years later, we ended up taking her back again.
No. What's she done this time? What was wrong?
We had a problem. This is all. It might sound funny, but these problems in the beginning of Daisy Ellen was because that lady there, your grandma, couldn't christen her. She was poorly, and they wouldn't sort of arrange anything. You saw all the people.
Yeah.
I mean, Wreckertown stopped that day just to go and have a look because they knew your grandma.
Yeah.
And of course, the Thompson brothers. I mean, look at the size of them.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, it was like the Crays.
Yeah, it was like the Crays.
You know. As when you look at that, every boat they had was christened.
Yes.
Properly.
And
she wasn't christened. And Uncle Jim used to say, "Ah, be all right. And it was, "I'll give Nellie a jewel there." She said, "No, it's got to be christened. Your father would go mad."
Yeah.
And granddad.
Yeah.
Anyway, when she was well enough, which was about 2 years, I would say, guessing, I think it was 2 years, Emma Carmen, before the boat was actually christened.
Oof.
And then luck seemed to change.
Yeah, it's funny.
But we had problems with the boat. It had to have a new engine.
New engine?
The engine that was in, because it was it was built under the Whitefish Grant.
Yeah.
The engine, which my dad, your Uncle Jack, he was the engine man.
Yeah.
He knew engines inside out. He said, "This engine, want a bigger one." Anyway, this one was put in. It was the first of a Ford engine that was marinized for a fishing boat.
Wow.
And we sort of like developed or found all the faults with it, told the makers.
Yeah.
And they said, "Okay, right, we'll do that. And they gave us a brand new engine and took the old one. I think it was about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was about a year. Because I remember the guy was a big friend of my dad's, brought this brand new engine on a little car trailer and it was always gleaming.
Oh, wow.
And then they just swapped it over.
Yeah.
And then we had the problem with the stern gear where the actual propeller shaft goes through the boat.
Yeah.
It sits in a tube.
Right.
And in this tube, there's some like cork packing.
Right.
Which runs in grease.
Right.
And then the prop shaft, which goes from the back of the engine outside the boat with the propeller on.
Yeah.
It runs on this packing. And unbeknownst, no one had noticed, but the engine had actually dropped, not much, maybe a quarter of an inch, and the prop shaft had worn the end of this tube away. So it had to go back to Whitby because where it went through the boat was a big, big solid wooden oak chock.
Yeah.
And this had to be split in half for them to put the new tube in.
Blimey.
So that was another time. And that was the time, me and your dad, and Uncle Arnold, we went Bungle Jim, I think at the time, was when Christine was due to be born. It was. Marlene was due to go in any day to have Christine.
Yeah.
So, well, I can't go, I can't go. I thought, okay. So, me, your dad, and our Arnold came. Well, your dad wasn't very well at all. He was full of flu. And I said, you stay. No, no, no. So, we went to Gordon Clarkson's, came down the river. So, anyway, I said, don't ask for the bridge open yet. We don't want the bridge open.
No.
Oh, no, we did, yeah. So, we got, because we had the, I think we had the A-frame mast on then, not the tall one. We did. Yeah, we did. So, and your dad, I was on the tiller. I was in charge, if you like.
Ooh.
So I said, oh, Ryan, right, you see them steps over there? Yeah, I said, I'm going to go alongside there, jump off. I said, and run up that street there. And as I said, there's off beer license. Go and get a little bottle of whiskey for our man.
Oh, bless.
No, I said, no, I'm telling you, never mind. So I turned the boat round, went into the, you know the steps? Have you
yeah,
ever got?
Yeah,
right, I put the boat alongside the steps.
Yeah.
He jumped off. The bridge man was shouting at me, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, I'll be 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. And your dad's saying to me, we're in the trouble, are you? Know? I said, don't you worry, we won't. And all the people there, and I'm going, ah, shut the, you know. Anyway, Arnold come back. This little miniature whiskey.
Oh.
Right, oh, get so. I said, right, get him a cup of tea. Get that whiskey in there. It was for your dad. Oh. Anyway, when we got outside, oh, what a shitty day it was when we got outside. It was fresh northeast.
Oh.
Snowing, raining, you name it. It was really fresh off the sea.
Your
dad says, ooh, I said, well, we're going.
Yeah.
We're not late, we're going home.
Yeah.
So I said, here, you, I said, don't you worry, you keep warm.
Yeah.
And I said to Arnold, you keep looking at that propeller shaft. So I said, leave the board up so we can see there's no water coming in.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on it. And I brought her back that day. It was a horrible day. And that was the last time it ever went to Whitby, apart from when I took it, when it was sold.
Yeah?
Oh,
God, that must have been heartbreaking.
Well, the guy, it left here, I can't remember what year, but it left here on October the 13th, Friday the
13th. Friday the 13th, yeah.
And I remember the day, and I wasn't with him then.
No.
But Uncle Jim said to me, will you tackle the Hartlepool for me? I says, you take it. You know,
yeah.
I said, you wouldn't let me take it on my own when I wanted to stay.
Yeah.
No, I can't. And of course, the lad who bought her, she was going to Hartlepool. He didn't know how to get out of Redcliffe for the rocks. He left her in this particular place where all the big boats went to get ice.
Right.
So I said, you leave her here, they'll just ram up alongside her.
Yeah.
Towards. Right. So we ended up, Dennis Burrows, you won't know Dennis Burrows, but Dennis was a big friend of the family.
Yeah.
Your dad, there's photographs now in my house of when they were foying, and Dennis was there as a young lad. In fact, there's a photograph somewhere, I may have it on my phone, with your dad and Dennis. Dennis is on the tiller, and one of the, I think it was Miss Oxley. Anyway, Dennis drove my, I had a yellow Beetle, old. And Dennis came to Hartlepool to pick us up, but we'd been to the pub first. Because it was heartbreaking, really, to see.
Oh,
the,
God, I can't
you
imagine.
You know, I thought, when I think, £10,000, that's what they got for it, £10,000. Which
daylight robbery, isn't it?
It's nothing to split, no, to split two ways,
yeah.
and whatever Jimmy took out. And I thought I could have bought it. Michael, my brother Michael, said, "Look, he said to me, you take her over. I said, I haven't got £10,000.
No.
He said, I haven't borrowed
it. Did you have to buy
her? Oh, I.
Oh.
They're wanting, but I would, he stopped me.
Right.
Arnold said he would have remortgaged his house. I said, it's a big risk. But anyway, yeah. He was going to do that, and then all of a sudden, that changed the next
right.
day. No,
okay.
no. I don't think Jimmy wanted to see the boat in Retka.
So that's why he sold it away.
I think so.
Yeah.
But the next morning, October the 14th, I get a phone call from Colin, the guy who bought it. Absolutely broken hearted, in tears. I said, don't tell me she's been damaged. He said, yeah. I said, you are joking. I said, in all the years we've had that boat, we've never scratched it.
No, she's beautiful.
So I went in my car to Whitby, sorry, to Hartlepool, and saw it. I said, boatyard job, Colin. Nothing you can do with that.
So someone had rammed her?
What had happened? They'd gone in. I'll show you what happened. On that, it was that side.
Yeah.
A boat had gone in and then lifted that gunwale there.
No.
That was lifted up, split. Would split that wood that goes across there.
Bloody hell.
So
that
was split.
Really rammed her there.
And that top plank was split there.
Really?
Yeah. So we had to. He said to me, oh, I don't know what to do. I said, well, you'll have to get in touch with the boatyard.
Yeah.
Build it at Whitby. I told him who to get in touch with.
Yeah.
Clarkson was finished then.
Yeah.
And there was this other boatyard at this end near the bridge.
Yeah.
Called Billy Clarkson. Anyway, yeah, we can do it. So Colin said, well, you take it to Whitby.
What? Okay.
I said, well,
his boat.
Will you come? I said, sure. His dad, this Colin's dad, he worked offshore. Right, so he earned a lot of money.
Yeah.
And his dad, his son Colin, who bought the boat, well, it wasn't his son, his dad bought the boat for him. He wanted to go fishing.
Right.
Okay, there was no licenses involved then.
No.
He just saw, and of course, they were getting, Daisy Ellen was brand new, there wasn't a mark on her, and a trawl net and everything for $10,000. His father rang me and said, Roddy said, I'll match whatever wages you get on the pilot board if you'll go skipper on Daisy Ellen. I said, I can't do that. He said, please. He said, oh, Colin, you know, hasn't much idea. I said, well,
oh, God.
I said, I'll bankrupt you because you'd never be able to afford to carry on giving me a salary. I said, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to put myself in that predicament,
No.
I'll help you as much as I can.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm not committing myself to that. So I took Daisy Ellen with him to Whitby. He hadn't a clue, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I knew where to go. And it was that was a poor day because there was 2 foot of snow on the quay when we got there.
Good God.
Whitby, yeah. And it was going to be lifted out. I thought, oh, my God, I don't want to see this.
No.
Lifting her out with all this snow, and I'm thinking, what happens if the crane slides? So, anyway, it was lifted out, and I never brought it back.
No.
I thought, it's your boat now.
Yeah.
It's breaking me out to do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that was it.
What was it like to be out on her?
Oh,
she was at her best.
It was, it was like being, coming from Joan Rose, it was like going on the Royal Yacht. You know, big, modern.
Yeah.
Moderner, if you like.
Yeah.
And it was, you did feel safe.
Mm.
That's one thing I did feel very safe. It's just, I used to regret, whether it was just me, I don't know. I've always been a conscientious person involved with the sea.
Yeah.
Because the sea is a hell of a provider, but it's also a hell of a taker.
Mm.
I would never, ever, ever, ever frightened no matter what weather.
No.
Because Jimmy knew his job. He was a good skipper.
Yeah.
And Uncle Mark knew his job. We worked as a team.
Yeah.
And I think we worked as a very good team.
Yeah.
I ended up as tractor driver. I used to drive the tractor all the time. Uncle Mark said, nah, you know. But they were getting older, you know. I think Daisy Ellen Trett is very well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Catch Red Car. It was recorded at the Red Car Palace, and the interviewer was me, Carmen Marcus. And you heard the voices of Emma and Rodney Thompson. If you enjoyed this episode, listen next to the story of how Daisy Ellen found her way back to Fisherman Square after being rescued by the man whose life she saved. This series of podcasts was created as part of the Catch Red Car to celebrate the story of a fishing town through image and sound. The project is a collaboration between me, Carmen Marcus, and Kev Howard, photographer, created on behalf of the Red Car Palace and supported by Arts Council Cultural Recovery Fund.